Earth is closed today. We will be talking in detail about the series WandaVision and the Marvel Universe in general. Come back and have a listen when you're all caught up.
Well, howdy, neighbor. Don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger.
Today we are celebrating. It's the first time we have ever celebrated this occasion before.
It's a special day.
Or perhaps an evening.
Of great significance to us all.
Naturally.
Obviously.
Exactly.
It's the series finale of WandaVision! I am your nosy neighbor, Megs, and joining me today are the lovely ladies of Westview, New Jersey, Alyssa, Leah, and Joanne.
Hello.
Hey, girl.
Well, howdy, neighbor.
Ladies, please introduce yourselves to our wicked cool listeners, along with telling us who your favorite Marvel character is, hero or villain.
Ooh,
that's a tough one.
That's hard. I feel like I've never asked who my favorite villain is.
You can pick hero or villain, whichever one you want, whichever one rings true to who you are.
So you might be a villain, just full disclosure.
In my heart. I'm Joe, and I'm going to go with Marvel character, not villain.
Love it.
I love Star-Lord, man.
Solid choice. Why?
What a hero.
What a hero. Because he's not.
That's exactly why.
Shots fired.
Because he's beautiful. That's what we're going with.
I love it.
Hello, this is Alyssa, and my favorite hero from the MCU, I don't know if I would like him in the comics because he seems kind of like boring, but he's like, because of the actor who plays him, he's really comedic and he's turned into this different character, is Thor.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Thor, the Thor movies are the ones that I look forward to now most because of Ragnarok, hilarious. Him in Infinity War, hilarious. He's also an amazing actor. He's not hard to look at also. And I don't really like vibe with the grounded storylines. Like the next two things that are coming up are Black Widow and Falcon and Winter Soldier. And I don't know if I'm like very excited to watch them because they're not like mythical and exciting. So
that's fair.
And my favorite villain probably honestly is Agatha because yes. Catherine Hahn is such a likable actress. Or actor that I'm just like, what's Leah? Leah is giving the worst grimace of all time.
Leah has a different opinion, but that's okay.
And I feel like she has something to say about that.
I have absolutely no problem with Agatha as the character. I just don't prefer the actress that she is played by, but that's just my taste. She's just not my cup of
witch's brew. Well, that's the only reason why I like her. Oh, she's not your cup of tea?
That's okay.
That works too. My name is Leah, and my favorite Marvel hero is Doctor Strange. I didn't know anything about him or who he was before the movie was announced, so I'm not really giving myself a very good name here, wow. But I never read the Marvel comics, so I didn't know of him at all. But upon watching the movie, it is probably my favorite Marvel movie of all time, Doctor Strange. Just the development of his character, how he was like super egotistical and everything had to be perfect and how he wouldn't take on certain clients because it was too risky of a job for him, or patients rather, I'd say. And then he just becomes really humbled. And obviously, you know that he's a very smart character, but he just becomes very humbled and realizes that everything around him is bigger than himself, and he just becomes this character that wants to do the right thing, not for his ego, but for the world. So I really enjoy his character development, and I really enjoy Benedict Cumberbatch as this goateed man. Like, sure. It doesn't even look like the same person without it. So, you know, I love his whole outfit. I love his powers. I think he's like a really cool mystical dude. I think my favorite villain, as lame as it may seem, no judgment, anybody out there shares the same thought as me, is Loki. Totally. I just like that. I just like that he's not really like a true villain at heart in my eyes. Like, he has like motives and he has reasonings behind the things that he does. But he still embodies himself as a true Asgardian at the end of, you know, Infinity War, and he says like, I'm a prince of Asgard and I'm a god when Thanos kills him, and he always knows where his roots is. But I also really like him because he's a trickster, you know, like nothing that he really does is as malicious as it seems. And I also really like the part in Thor Ragnarok when he falls out of the hole and he says, I have been fooling for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are my
such
choices.
A great movie. I have to rewatch it.
Taika Waititi is an absolute genius,
and Waititi plays Korg, and he's Korg. Like, no, Leah has to do it. Leah is the best Korg.
You brought a hammer. The hammer pulled you off. Oh man, that's disgusting.
You must have a really close relationship with that hammer.
What's he says, like, hey, his friend, and his friend's dead. What does he say?
Meek. This is Meek. He's dead. Oh no, Meek's alive.
Oh, Meek, you're alive.
Oh man. He's what like, about you, darling? What about our hostess of the mostest today?
Yes. Well, I didn't think as deeply into the villain side of things because I think honestly, both Alyssa and Leah, I love Agatha and also Loki. But near and dear to my heart has always been Spider-Man. And ever since Tom Holland took over this role, I'm just head over heels. I know he's like 10 years younger than me or something, but
no way.
I thought you were going to say he's 10 years old.
Don't sweat it.
He's a sweetheart.
Tom Holland is 24. He's only 3 years younger than you.
Oh, he's a baby.
I'll be 4 years younger than me.
No, 96.
Oh, okay. So he's turning 25 this year. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
But no, ever since he took on the role, I've literally, the moment he appeared in the trailer for Civil War, I was like, oh my God, they finally found an actor to play Spider-Man. Because 100%. Two other guys have tried to do it. But both of them were way too old, and Andrew Garfield was way too cool to be Spider-Man.
Yeah,
100%.
And I just, like, never really enjoyed Peter, what's his name? Tobey Maguire's version of him. But Tom Holland is just, like, the angel we all needed and deserved to play Peter Parker. So, yeah, he's my fave.
Totally agree.
Now, before we truly dive deep into this series, I would just love to know everyone's initial impressions of the entire show as a whole. Like, what were you anticipating before the first episode aired, and how do you feel now that it's all over? Or is it?
Ooh, or is it? That's that series finale title that gets you like, is it the series finale? Because when I watched it this morning and I saw, oh, Joe, it's the series finale. We watched it and it was wonderful. I circled back and I was like, it's called the series finale because she's hosting her own television show. So I just thought that was like really meta.
Oh, super meta.
Totally.
So before, meta.
Oh my God. before the series like started, I was just excited at this point to have new Marvel content. I didn't really know a lot about the Scarlet Witch. Mm-hmm. I knew like Vision's origin story because we had seen him born in Age of Ultron and where he came from and things like that. But yeah, I was just so excited to dive deep into like a kind of like a secondary character's focused story. And now that the series is over, like, I want to see what's going on. I want to see what's Wanda doing. What is she astral projecting? Where's fucking White Vision? Like, I want to know. And I don't want to get too far into that because we want to discuss it. But like, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Right? Exactly. Like, I feel like one of the things that we didn't really get a confirmation of was if this is going to be the only season. Me personally, I don't really read a lot, but that doesn't sound great. But Kevin Feige or anybody else that is in creation of these Marvel shows, nobody has said anything about there not being a second season, nor have they confirmed that there won't be. Like, they haven't said, oh yeah, we're doing a second season, but they also have not said we are not doing a second season.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to assume that there probably as won't meta be. As it was. Yeah, the series finale, I'm assuming, means that it is over. And initially I had kind of, before we watched it, the same response, like, is this going to be a show that goes long term? Is it going to just be one season? But after watching it, it feels like it really, its only function was, I mean, not only function, but its main function was to set us up for a bunch of stuff that's to come. Mm-hmm. So introduce characters that we now know, like Photon and the twins and all that stuff, to kind of get us started for like the multiverse and all these things. So I don't assume there would be a function for it to continue. Yeah. WandaVision is like the name of the TV show within the show, and that has finished. So it would make sense that this too has finished. Right, yeah. Yeah, if we continue to see the characters, I imagine we'd see them in their own movies or in other movies, but not in this capacity, in this format. I don't think we'll see that ever again.
That's fair.
I also think that it would end after the series is over, just to make it more cut and dry on like how to watch the timeline. Because like a detractor for me, even as a Marvel fan, to watch the Netflix series is like, okay, you have to watch like this season of Jessica Jones, and then you have to watch this season of Daredevil, and then two seasons of Luke Cage, and then one of Iron Fist. And I don't even know if that's correct, but it sounds that messed up all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that like one season and done makes sense. And if they want to do another season about Wanda or about Vision or both of them, they can name it something different.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if those characters will come back in their own situation. I think they will definitely come back, but it'll be as, again, side characters or just like guest appearances in other people's stories throughout the timeline. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Leah, what did you think?
I was just going to agree with Joanne. I think to your point, the entire purpose, maybe not entire purpose, but the main purpose of this show is to set us up for the Multiverse of Madness with Doctor Strange. And like, you know, we've been surmising like a whole bunch of different things. Like, obviously we have, what's the guy's name? The guy that plays Quicksilver from the X-Men movies.
Evan Peters.
Evan Peters, thank you. Who has taken the place, the potential place of old Pietro as sort of like what we thought, what I was surmising was going to be like a universe soul connection between the X-Men universe and the MCU universe. And it was kind of like at the end of this episode, it was kind of like a big fat troll slap in the face, you know, unless they have like other plans for that. I don't know. But that's what I was surmising. But like when you get to the end of it all, you realize like if you have watched Doctor Strange recently, that one book that's missing is the book that Agatha has, and that's what it all leads up to. So I agree with Joanne. I think that this one particular season, it is in and of itself a series, and thus calling the last episode the series finale rather than season finale, that's it, like one and done. I don't think that there's any sort of necessity for them to continue on with this. Like, it's gonna lead us right into where we want it to go, which is the Multiverse of Madness, obviously.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I also think that we're so used to shows like spanning, you know, Grey's Anatomy 20 seasons and it goes on and on forever because we just love it so much and we just want to see it over and over and over again and have it continue. But I love that they made the choice to have it be a one season show as opposed to squishing it into a movie or trying to milk it and make it some really long show that had no business being a long show. So I love that, you know, I love that we're questioning it. Like, is this going to keep going? Like, is there more? I want to see more, but it's not, because there's so much other types of content and places for us to see these characters, whether it's a movie or a TV show or a comic or a cameo or any of those things. So I love that they did just honestly one season and they didn't try to ruin it by making it longer.
Oh, honestly, I agree. Yeah. And I think the people at Marvel know exactly what they're doing. And the fact that there was like a completely different timeline to how these movies and TV series were actually supposed to air. And WandaVision was not supposed to be the first thing we saw in Phase 4. So I think it's super interesting to see how they go about it now versus the way they would have gone about it. I don't actually know what they were going to start with, but oh, it would have been Black Widow, because that was supposed to come out last year.
I'm pretty sure Black Widow. And then WandaVision was supposed to come out in the spring of 2021, and then Doctor Strange was supposed to come out in May. Mm-hmm. So it was supposed to be like directly attached to each other.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see like the whole year that like spans one ends to the next beginning.
Yeah, exactly. Just a couple like fun questions to play with before we really start talking about the finale. We watched this TV show that took inspiration from other TV shows that we all grew up watching, and I love that part about this show. And the ways that we were able to connect with the characters and the episodes in ways that you don't need to be a massive Marvel fan in order to do so. If you were Wanda and you were able to pick four sitcoms, which would they be in your hex? Anybody?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Honestly, okay, hold on. I don't know if you guys have four.
I have four.
I can't think of four because all of mine would just be from the 90s and then they're all almost identical. So
that's fair.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. If there's four of us, do we want to each pick one?
I love that.
And then that way it's like, okay, I don't have to come up with four and then you have to come up with four and all of us are going to say friends except for Leah. So it's like.
I, like Joanne said, I couldn't think of four that like fully described how I would imply these in my own hex. So the one that I'm going to choose is Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And the reason I wanted to choose it is because I still to this day have dreams that I can like point my finger and like glitter magic comes out and I can like make something happen or something appear or send somebody to a different realm. Like I wanted to be Sabrina when I was a kid. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the other realm and Salem. And I wish I had a cat that talked. Like, Lincoln doesn't talk to me, our cat. So, well, he talks with his eyes, but not with his words.
Maybe with his screams, though.
Oh, my God. Constantly, all the time. Apologies, listeners, if you hear a tiny cat scream. There's two microphones and one very loud kitten in our house, so...
But yeah, I think he's asleep.
I think Sabrina the Teenage Witch is also an interesting choice because of Scarlet Witch and Agatha mm-hmm. Harkness, and it's all kind of like ties together. And it was my favorite 90s show. So it's very near and dear to my heart.
Love it.
I got to know what yours is.
I'm just your basic average white girl here, and my choice would have been Bewitched. Like, we saw the trailer, and I saw all of the different eras in the trailer, and I only saw, like, a small portion of the Bewitched chapter, and I didn't know for sure that it was going to be based off of Bewitched, but as soon as we watched the episode, I was like, I'm so happy that they did this, because it was so funny, it was enjoyable, I love the black and white aspect, I love the theme of the time period, like, it was just, they really hit the nail on the head with that one. So I'm just going to stick with the choice that they already picked. Not to be lazy, but it is my favorite. It is my favorite.
I didn't even think of that. Like, yeah. Now that I think of that, you exude Bewitched energy from the 50s. So, yeah.
Well, I guess.
Joe.
Okay, well, I'll just be a basic brown girl grown up in the 90s then. I would pick Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Fresh Prince is hilarious. The filming is great. It is about like family and being like this weirdo being totally out of place. And I just love the idea of if there was like a show about me that I would have my own version of that theme song for myself. So maybe that's just me being a little selfish, but I think it's pretty cool. And I would play it on repeat all the time.
Oh my God, that's a fantastic choice.
Megs, tell me, girl.
Let me be the third basic bitch in
oh my God.
The quad here. But I mean, we all knew I was going to pick this. Friends. I literally grew up with this
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I reference this show on a hourly basis, I'm going to say, quote the show constantly along with my family. So for me, as much as it's not about like familial family, it is about like your chosen family from the 90s. So it's, you know, very much not today's chosen family, but I still think it's how close you can be with your friends. And it would have been really interesting to see how that could have been portrayed in this type of scenario, because it would have had to be Wanda, Vision, Agnes, Sherbert.
Norm.
Like, you know.
At a Middle Eastern restaurant.
Hey. And probably Monica. Like, it would have, I think it would have been really interesting to see that portrayed. Yeah. And also,
guys,
it's my
Norm should have been Gunther.
Oh!
Who?
Gunther.
Norm.
And he would have been in love with Wanda.
Oh yeah. My God. That would have been
would
so
have,
funny.
Who would have played Gunther?
Norm.
Norm. Little brown boy who was like, save me!
The guy that we all think is Mephisto.
What?
No,
we think everyone's chance. Mephisto, let's be honest.
The stork in the 70s episode was Mephisto. The rabbit. Mephisto. The cicada bug was Mephisto. The...
the plant.
Pietro.
They
guy.
Could all
Pietro.
Be him.
The sword agent coming
the
out
lobster,
of the ground.
The lobster, guys.
The lobster.
The lobster. Oh, I forgot about the lobster.
He was red.
Mephisto.
Mephisto.
I still think it's him. I'm just saying. I mean, he's got a TikTok, and he keeps posting TikToks. He's like, haven't been fired yet, so.
So funny.
You know what my superpower is? Job. That's what he says, and it makes me laugh every time.
Speaking of Mephisto... did any of your theories pan out?
Oh, man.
As we all theorized throughout this series, did any of them pan out or were they completely debunked as the episodes aired?
Absolutely not. All of my theories were entirely incorrect. Unless they decide to do the complete opposite of what we've just talked about and make a second season and confirm my theories, which I seriously doubt. Obviously, Pietro and Peter Maximoff are not one and the same. It's just a guy just playing a random missing person. Probably.
I refuse to believe that. I'm sorry, no.
Yeah, you know, I said the same thing. I said there has to be a reason that they're going to put this one particular actor in his place to play this role. It, not like a big fat, you know, screw you. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm a little bit disappointed. And then the other theory that a little birdie had was that, pause, what's the guy's name?
Norm.
With Mephisto. Sword.
Oh, Hayward.
No. Hayward, thank you. This individual believed that Hayward was Ultron, or that he was being controlled by Ultron.
Excuse me? Because and he was robotic and unlikable?
No, he was an absolute dick trying to revive a robot.
I didn't really think that at first. I thought it was kind of far-fetched. But now we're like, well, what is his motive for doing this? Like, there has to be a motive. He might not necessarily be Ultron in and of himself, but like, maybe he's being controlled by him, or maybe, you know, Ultron is inside the White Vision, but now he's not. Like, it's just, you know, we saw him in the last episode, like, manifest, and then now he's what is he? Where is he? What is happening? Where did he go? We saw him for 5 seconds. It was kind of like a cop-out almost, you know, for them to end it with this one last episode and not explain anything else to us about what this white vision is. So my theories are just completely, just totally debunked at this point.
Me? Okay.
Alyssa, please.
So I didn't really have a lot of theories going in. I was definitely the person who was like, I watched the first episode and then I was like every episode after watching the Easter egg hunt, like all these different YouTubers, what's going on? What are their theories? Okay, I'm going to start looking out for everything. And I started to get distracted by it. But I definitely at the very beginning thought that Agnes was Agatha Harkness. And the reason why I knew immediately, like Joe and I were watching the first episode, she goes, Agatha, charmed.
She's an Agnes. I'm like,
she's a fucking witch.
But yeah,
charmed. So
yeah.
So I mean, I'm gonna take that as a win.
Oh yeah.
A lot of the stuff that I think a lot of people didn't see pan out, like finding out who the engineer was. Was it going to be Reed Richards? Was it going to be Sue Storm? Neither of those things panned out. It could have also been like Riri Williams, who's going to be Ironheart, the following up to Iron Man. I also thought that Sir Scratchy or Senior Scratchy was going to be Nicholas Scratch, who was Agatha's son.
Yo, still could be. Who knows?
That, I mean, it could still happen. I'm not sure. But the one theory that I'm still hopeful about is that Peter is actually in the universe. I've learned a lesson from this series to just take it as it comes, be excited that there's content coming out, and have fun with my ideas, but don't be upset if things are kind of calm and they're allowing the characters to have building moments rather than like throwing things out at you.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, 100%. I think Marvel does a really good job at playing the long game. And a lot of us just wanted, again, in one season of one TV show, we wanted all the answers and, you know, entire new characters to be formed and villains to be had and defeated and have everything come and go so quickly. And it doesn't work like that. And I agree with Alyssa. I think that this is the first show or movie or anything ever that I've done this much like research and looking and trying to figure it out ahead of time. I am the kind of person that hates trailers, and I think I watched like 2 trailers for every episode before anything happened. And it doesn't allow the story to just exist and you just enjoy it. As soon as you create expectations that they didn't tell you were going to happen, yeah, you've created exactly your own expectations and then created your own disappointment. So we always joke that like nobody hates Marvel as much as Marvel fans.
Isn't that just the saying for all fandoms?
For anything. Oh, absolutely. Nobody hates a fandom as much as the fans of that fandom. So I definitely, like, prior to watching the show, I had no business knowing anything about the comics, or, you know, I didn't even know Wanda and Vision had their own little house storyline. I didn't know she had kids. I didn't know who the hell Mephisto was. I had no idea about any of this stuff. And I feel like I know so much more now, which is awesome. But I also don't want to feel like that took away anything from how great the show was, because I went into it with literally zero knowledge about any of this. So I have no business being disappointed in anything that happened. Yeah.
I'm completely on the exact same page as you, Joanne. I knew nothing. And aside from the fact that it was confusing not to know anything and not to know who characters were, because everybody was speculating about who Agatha Harkness was. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Who's this?
Who that?
Because I really didn't know. I, as many of us, were able to absorb the acting clinic that went on in this series of television. These actors, who I did not know had this in them, specifically Elizabeth Olsen, blew 100% me away throughout each episode. It started off with these like 1950s, 60s shows where you don't think it takes a lot because it almost looks like overacting, but that's the point. And the fact that she could go back and act in that format, as well as go through all these, it's like blows my mind that someone has the capability of doing that, first of all. But when we got into the, like, marvel of the show, she portrayed her storyline beyond anything I expected. And in episode 8, the freaking tearjerker that we got that broke my absolute heart blew me away. Like, she did a fantastic job. And I just want to give her a little round of applause before we continue on and talk about the finale. Yeah.
I just want to add that when WandaVision was announced, I wasn't even a little baby bit excited. I was like, oh, she's like a whatever side character. We don't really know much about her and we don't really know much about Vision. And then it's objectively been one of my favorite things that I've watched in a very long time. And I was so impressed. And every time, you know, another episode happened, I was like, how can they keep getting better and better and better? And we know more about not only the characters, but about the acting abilities of these people that I haven't seen really in anything else. So
yeah,
I definitely hope that they keep that going and they, you know, give them the light that they need to shine in.
Yeah, and that this sparks the little fire under all the other actors' asses.
Yeah,
get going.
100%.
Yeah, so let's, now that we've really expanded our knowledge on how much we now know about the entirety of this show, let's talk about the specific episode that we all watched, the finale, the ending to a series that we're all sad to see go. Now, we already talked about how in TV land, the series finale usually means the very end of a show. We're questioning that, but it's probably the end of the show. We start off with the epic beginnings of a battle to come. Not only Agatha Harkness calling Wanda out, but the White Vision has joined the fight as well. I want to start by touching on the massive theory that we were all trying to guess. Who is this incredible actor that Paul Bettany has just been dying to work with, and he was so happy to do so? The answer is, Paul Bettany is the biggest troll.
I was so mad.
What a dick.
He had everybody fooled. Everybody. Like, it's Ian McKellen. It's going to be Benedict Cumberbatch. It's going to be Patrick Stewart. It's going to be Hugh Jackman. It's going to be Al Pacino as Mephisto. It's like, who told you that? Nobody. We set our expectations to the fucking moon. And then they're like, yeah, it's just White Vision. And then
dude was
like,
talking about himself.
literally there was like a second in there that I thought maybe it was a different actor playing him for a second, and then when he, you know, his eyes kind of came out, I was like, oh, never mind, whatever.
You gotta be kidding me.
Oh, never mind.
Thanks a lot there, Paul.
Okay, but hold on, how many times has like Marvel pulled the wool over our eyes or pulled the rug out from under our feet? You know, they change the title of stuff or they show a trailer and it's completely inaccurate to the movie, right? Like, I think it's funny that we assume that we're so smart and we're gonna figure it out. You know, he gave these little hints and we know who it is.
Well, they just did. I was 100% sure that when I was looking at the preview for the last episode, it said it was like an hour and 30 minutes, or it was an hour and 12 minutes long or something like that, right?
Lies.
The and last now we
three
go back.
Episodes will be an hour. It's like,
I know, right?
Don't play with my heart.
30
like
minutes
no,
of credits.
No. I think what happened was that they had it originally on there as that time. It was like an hour and 20 minutes or something like that. And then they like pulled it because it wasn't out yet. They can do whatever. And according to my boyfriend, he's saying that what they did with whatever was in the remaining of that episode is going to be put into an extras episode. I don't 100% know for sure. We cannot confirm, but apparently there was talks of this. Because, like, I am, like, 99.9% sure that when I looked at the preview for that last episode, because I was, like, hyping myself up to have to spend an hour and a half watching this episode, that it was way longer, like, last week on the timeline than it originally like is now. Like, it says 43 minutes or whatever the hell it says. So
they are like, they're releasing a thing on Friday, so on March 10th, 1 week from the day of recording this. Oh no, March 12th, 1 week from recording this. They're releasing Assembled: The Making of WandaVision. So it's going to be like a behind the scenes different focus on the series with things like how they thought of creating the hex, or yeah, I'm assuming they did this how the Lopez's created the music and things like that. So yeah, it's going to be something similar to that, I believe. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely
there's got to be deleted scenes and stuff, because they obviously tried to make it like they didn't want to sneak in anything that didn't have any business being there. So they just, I'm sure they recorded extra stuff and trimmed it down or took out stuff based on maybe the order changing of the movies or the shows that they were supposed to air in a particular order. Maybe they referenced something that no longer happened or hasn't happened yet or whatever. So, I mean, maybe that is why they took some of it out. Or again, maybe it was just to screw with us. I don't know.
It happens a lot. Yeah.
Seems plausible.
Anything could happen. So speaking of being left out, Monica doesn't get to fight. She is stuck in a weird old, 19-year-old's room with Pietro, as we're lovingly calling him.
I like that.
Pietro. That's what Agatha calls him.
Right? Yeah.
I know, but
Pietro, if you will.
Pietro, if you will. But he is revealed to be one Ralph Boner. What are your thoughts on this situation? Alyssa, I think maybe you have some insight into who we may think Mr. Ralph Boner could be.
You know what? I have a real boner for this theory. Let me tell you.
Oh my God.
So I am still on the train that Peter is still a form of Pietro from either the Fox universe or a different universe. And the reason why is I was watching the series back, recommendation from Megan, and I got to the episode where we see a real insight on the sword side of things. I think it's episode 4. And Monica walks up to the hex and she's like, Monica Rambeau, sword. And Jimmy's like, here's my card, Jimmy Woo, FBI. And she's like, why are you here? Because you're like insignificant in FBI. And he's like, I have a witness in Westview, and he's like missing. And I forget the exact conversation that they have, but basically I'm thinking that Ralph Boner is Peter, either from the Fox universe or another universe, because who in their right mind doesn't change their last name from Boner? Peter makes his last name Boner, because in the Fox universe, he is like some kind of jokester, and he's like always trying to pull a fast one. And Evan Peters was acting like the Peter that we know. And I don't think it's on Marvel's radar to like pull a fast one on the audience in a movie or in a TV show that they're filming. Like, sure, you can like have Paul Bettany, like we said, tell like a kind of a lie, but not really. Or you can have like a rumor that goes around that you're going to have an hour-long episode, but paying an actor to come in who we know is from a different universe to play a character that we know, right? It's like, yeah, it makes too much sense.
Yeah.
So when I was watching the episode where Darcy, Monica, and Jimmy get like kicked out of the sword base, I was like, okay, well, they looked at the screen and Jimmy didn't know who he was. And the reason that Jimmy didn't know who he was is because the way that the hex worked is anybody who knew about Westview after Westview was created, they didn't know who was there or what it was. So
you're thinking Jimmy doesn't know who his own person, his own...
No, he has somebody he had to deal with that is in the witness protection program. He doesn't know the name of the person being protected. He just knows there's somebody there under that situation.
Exactly. So he doesn't know who he's looking for. So
it's not the mailman?
It's not the mailman. No, no, no.
It's not the mailman.
Well, then who's the damn mailman?
The mailman
is just a delivery guy. It's a coin. They put so many things that would like lead you away.
Is in other Marvel movies.
Is he really?
Is he like the Pizza Planet truck, but for MCU? Like, am I going to see him everywhere now?
As far as I know, he was only in Captain America, but I'm not 100% sure if he's in anything else.
That's so funny.
In Captain America?
Yeah. I believe that was the movie. He was like a insignificant side character, background character kind of guy. Like, I think he shows up and he talks to, I don't know if he like is a wait. Yeah, he's a waiter. He's a waiter, and I'm pretty sure he waits on them in the restaurant before they're about to go into battle. I'm pretty sure that's what he is.
So the actor's name is Amos Glick, and he was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a waiter.
Okay, there's one.
He was in WandaVision.
Wow.
And that's it.
And that's it. Yeah.
So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And now he's a mailman.
Yes. So
maybe it was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that I was thinking of then.
It does say that he's someone who's played multiple characters in the MCU, but it only cites two things. But yeah, I think he was just kind of like a red herring. Like, let's pull the audience's focus away from what this is and like give them something to believe in. Like, let's believe that Dottie is Mephisto when she's just she's just a lady, a nice lady who's like, please let my daughter out of her room. She's dying. God.
So sad and terrifying.
I mean, the other thing, too, about Ralph Boner, as he's called, is what if he's in the witness protection program because Magneto found out that was his son and, you know, unknowingly, and maybe they're trying to protect him from him because he's a villain. You know, there's no two ways about it. Like, that was one thing that I was thinking of because, you know, who was this mysterious person in witness protection other than Pietro or Peter? Whatever, Peter yeah. Maximoff. Mm-hmm. Let's go with that.
Yeah, it's like the web they weave
is just my so brain thick. Is just
I know it's insane.
I don't know. Like, I have such a hard time believing that he was there prior randomly. To, but yeah, prior to the hex being created because Agatha was like, well, I had to pull him from somewhere and the old Pietro's dead, so I had to find the next best thing. Like, she made it seem like she put him there after the fact intentionally, mm-hmm. and he wasn't always there, and she used some kind of magic to put him there. So my assumption is that like they can't give him, like, I'm thinking from a social security number situation, they can't yeah. give him the name Pietro Maximoff because right. he no. exists already and he died.
Yeah,
so maybe they just like had to assign him some name, and the same way like everything in the hex becomes something that makes sense, maybe he just got a random name, and because he's a funny guy, you got a funny name.
Well, like, but his like all his mail in the house said that name, and throughout the series Agatha or Agnes talks about her husband Ralph, but he's never seen.
Right. Oh, that's true. That's true.
So, and there's literally like an actor's headshot of somebody named Ralph Boner, and it's his face, right?
Right.
It just, there's more questions than there are answers, man. Why is and
like
Ralph
she Boner? He also still has his powers. Like, he also is yeah. still Quicksilver. He's like running around and
yeah.
One thing that also leads me to believe that he really is Quicksilver is the Halloween episode.
Yeah.
Vision was wearing his costume. Scarlet Witch was the Sokovian fortune teller. Both Wiccan and Speed were wearing theirs, and Agatha. So if they're just trying to, again, like pull the wool over our eyes and just be like, yeah, this is Quicksilver. We just put him in the outfit. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it makes sense. I think it makes more sense for them to be like, he's part of this, but we're trying to lead you off for a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're gonna like douse your expectations for right now and then ramp them back up maybe in the Multiverse of Madness, mm-hmm. because he was wearing a tattoo on his left arm that said mom. We know that the Fox Quicksilver lives with his mom and he loves his mom. Oh my God. But also Multiverse of Madness, MOM, that could be
oh my God.
An Easter egg as well.
Oh, Alyssa, like, that's you're overreaching
really into it.
I mean, it's a pretty ugly apparent tattoo on the side that's facing yeah, the camera. Right? So I'm going to go with that was intentional.
I'm not. Oh, yeah, I'm no tattoo. Reed Richards, but I can reach pretty damn far. So
good one.
Fun facts: Evan Peters and Aaron Taylor Johnson were both yes! in Kick-Ass and Kick-Ass 2, which is like I didn't click in that for a while until I realized that both of them individually had played Quicksilver, and I was like, oh my God, that's so funny. I wonder if they like collaborated on that.
And in the
like
Halloween episode, he goes, kick ass.
Yeah.
And then she's like, kick
yeah.
ass? Like,
yeah.
Genius.
That was
oh
great.
My God.
So
oh,
cute.
Man, the things that they think of. All right. Anyways, I just wanted to say
that's
my piece.
Okay.
Moving on.
So to continue on with what's happening in the episode, Agatha has finally mentioned the Darkhold, the Book of the Damned. This is where we get our true connection to the story of Doctor Strange. Finally, we have been told in particular that Doctor Strange is a part of Wanda's story. Wanda's power is said to exceed that of the Sorcerer Supreme. Now, where have we heard that name before?
R.I.P. Tilda.
Oh, sad. Aww.
I think that's really interesting that she's explaining that she believes that Scarlet Witch, that Wanda has more power than her. And I don't know if it's too early for me to touch on this, but obviously at the end of the episode, we've got our two end credit scenes, and Wanda is going about her day, just pouring herself a cup of tea, but also astral projecting at the same time, where I thought that only one person could do that while they were sleeping or in a trance or whatnot. So I just I wasn't expecting that to be a thing while she was just going about her day existing and astral projecting at the same time.
And I think that shows how powerful she truly is that she can live a normal life and still astral project and learn all that she needs to learn from this book.
She's just on autopilot while she's just going about her day.
Crazy.
So, I mean, that's pretty,
but she's so strong. Like, you can see a visual that Dr. Strange has to be knocked out or dying when he was in the operating room, right? He has to be asleep to astral project. So Wanda can literally just be two beings at the same time and be able to do it. So she must be that much stronger than him, which is crazy.
And we're assuming at this point too that she doesn't have a teacher or someone to teach her or tell her what the heck to do. So she just figured out how to have two versions of herself. I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that blows my mind.
Not to mention, not just Doctor Strange, but also the Ancient One. We know that Doctor Strange is pretty powerful, but he's not the most powerful sorcerer from the Carmitage that has learned that art, the ancient mystic arts. Obviously, the Ancient One is supposed to be, this most powerful being, and even she couldn't astral project while in a state of autopilot while she was conscious. So that's a very telling of how powerful she is. So I don't know how they're gonna stop her in the multiverse of madness, but they're gonna need some pretty serious magic shit to stop her.
Yeah, that's gonna be
magic shit.
There's gonna be some crazy exciting battle scenes in that movie, I think. Speaking of battles,
these segues are solid.
Oh man, the fighting ensues, and we truly get to see how powerful Wanda is, how powerful her boys are that she created from herself. The tricks and the battles ensue. Wanda and Agatha go head to head. Tommy uses his wiggly woo powers for the first time, and I'd like to mention that they are blue. Monica shows up like the badass beast she is, and Vision duels his old self made new again. This episode is jam-packed with so much Marvel action. Do we love it, or did we enjoy the departure throughout the show where there were performances that shone brighter than the action?
That's a great question. It's a great question. I think that it was refreshing for sure in a superhero franchise to have the actors shine as they should, especially Elizabeth Olsen. She was so phenomenal in every single era, and I believe that she's a character. She's somebody who I'm watching tell their story. She's not an actor just reading lines and being robotic. So she's really selling it. I thought it was definitely something I was looking forward to. It's the climax of the entire series, and seeing Vision fight White Vision, I was like, man, he should have phased through Thanos when Thanos was trying to get the Mind Stone out of him.
I was thinking that too.
But then I realized that wasn't he injured earlier in the episode? And Wanda had just killed him, and then he'd brought back to life.
Yeah, he wasn't prepared for that.
That answers my own question, but yeah, it was just like very much needed. I was very disappointed. I wanted to see much, much, much more of Monica in the fight because she really didn't fight or do anything. She just kind of slowed the bullets down, which I thought was awesome. But yeah, it's a solid 9 out of 10 for me.
Oh, yeah.
9 out of 10.
Yeah, I wanted to see Monica. That would have made it a 10.
Wow. Again, I stand 100% by the fact that if they're going to introduce her and then give us like a glimpse of what she's capable of, like the fact that she dove in front of two children who also, what the hell was Hayward shooting?
I know.
The children. Yeah.
But like,
not yeah, a good like, shot though.
It was...
He shot right in the middle of them. So
I mean, he might have been shooting at Monica because the whole purpose of Hayward, I think, was to be the match for Monica. Like the big bad of the series was Agatha, and Hayward was like, we were annoyed at him. He was a dick, but he wasn't like a villain. He was in his mind doing what he thought was best for the world, which was to take away this person who's hurting 3,000 plus people. Maybe unintentionally, but yeah, I think that he was trying to aim his gun at Monica because she was stopping him from doing what he wanted to do.
I don't know. She jumped in front out of nowhere, so I'm gonna go with that is wrong. So
that is true.
She literally jumped in front of the children, and the bullets just like literally just phased right through her, and I was like, did she know that was gonna happen? Because I didn't. And she was just ready to die in that moment, and then it just goes through her, and then Tommy's like, no thank you, I'm gonna stop this last bullet, and she just looks at him and she's like,
yeah,
nice. Like they just
teamwork.
They're just like, yeah, this is normal now.
Billy is wicked.
Ah, crap.
Tommy is speed. I keep getting confused also.
I thought Billy was the fast one. That's my bad.
That's okay. I honestly always get confused.
I can't keep track of which one is which either. Maybe when they grow up, when we see them again, we can remember their real names.
Yes.
And
well,
it'll be
we know we're going to see them again for sure. I don't know how or when, but obviously, like, you know, upon having this conversation and you guys watching through the show a second time, just for so it's like fresh in your mind, this mm-hmm. whole series is setting up all of these characters for other series or other movies and whatnot. So like that's why we saw so little of White Vision, that's why we saw so little of Billy and Tommy. Like, we know that they have a future there, and obviously, like, with the second end credit scene, her hearing their voices in her head, they're coming from somewhere. Like, it's assumed that the reality that Wanda created just, like, dissipated her children along with Vision, but obviously not. Where are they? They're existing somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And maybe Vision is existing somewhere else as well. Like, we don't know that. But then the same thing with Monica, too, is, like, I don't really know what her powers are. Like, we're assuming that with her powers coming from Wanda's stone from, like, walking through the barrier. Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Joe just wants to go next.
Sorry. Okay. I'm assuming that, like, from her walking through the barrier, that's what gave her powers is Wanda's power from the stone created the barrier, created Monica's powers. I don't know what they are. Like, she did a superhero, like, ground pound, and her eyes were blue. And then while she was stopping the bullets, her eyes were yellow. And while she was taking the necklace off of, what's his name? Ralph. Her eyes were purple. And I'm like, what is her power?
Mr.
I don't know
Boner.
What her power is. I don't know anything about her. And we're just assuming that it's going to be setting it up for the next Captain Marvel movie and that she's obviously going to be present in it. I just don't know what she is.
Mm-hmm.
I totally thought you said she's going to be president. But
that would be great.
She's going to be president of the United States.
Monica Rambeau for president. I don't think I answered your initial question. So we had a lot of really like heartfelt moments, and we had a lot of really cool like emotional scenes. And then we had a lot of action. And honestly, my favorite part of that whole episode was just in the midst of all the chaos and the action, the two Visions just like being like, But if you take a boat and you take all of its wood out and you replace it with more wood, is it the same?
The ship of And it was like, yo,
this philosophical battle between vision and vision is my favorite thing right now.
I saw this.
I love that so much.
I saw this meme of, okay, wait, I have to find it. I saw.
Is it the Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man?
No, it's not. Let me find it.
This meme of at a time like this.
It's the okay. I saw this meme of Wanda fight. It's like Wanda fighting Agatha on one side, and it's like the Scarlet Witch falling down from the sky, like in the flashback episode. And then it's Vision fighting Vision, and it's these two like Greek philosophers just talking to each other. I don't know why it had no business being that funny.
Yes, it
but
does.
It was like so accurate, and like that. The philosophy does definitely bring in a point of like, what is consciousness? Like, does consciousness make you vision? Because technically white vision is vision. But like technically
he was just programmed to not have his memories.
Exactly.
Right? Like he was just like they brought him back from the dead and it was like they wiped his flash drive
exactly.
or whatever.
His flash drive.
His floppy disk.
He's running a his logic board.
2 gigabytes.
Yeah, white vision is the ship. White vision is the like parts of vision that were constructed in that like machine that Ultron was using. But the vision from the Hex is the vision that we know because it's the way that Wanda remembers vision. She created her vision, no pun intended, and like they're both the yin of the yang of each other's identity, and the fact that Hex Vision gave the consciousness and the memories to White Vision. I don't think that we're going to see a villain in White Vision. I think that it's going to take a second for that vision to like realize that there's no need to be negative or a villain or aggressive to anybody, because what's making them aggressive? Programming. But Vision is not someone who needs to be programmed. Vision is an entity that's like, I'm here to make logical decisions and I'm here to fight for like the right side. I see Joe shaking her head.
No, I honestly, like we had a big talk about this morning, and I was like, I get that on such a deep level, and I thought about it so much when they were like, you're Vision and I'm Vision, but neither of us is Vision technically, because neither of them has their own memories. Like, sure, you know, Hex Vision, you know, re-downloaded some of White Vision's memories back because they were there and he just unlocked them. And he's like, this is like you watching a movie of something that happened that you didn't feel like you experienced. And then Hex Vision, again, didn't have any notion of Ultron. He doesn't remember anything before he was there. And neither of them remember a time before they were in love with Wanda. Both of them are kind of creations of the things that they're allowed to remember by somebody else. So neither of them is Vision, and both of them are Vision, because what is Vision, right?
That's the paradox.
Neither of them is the Mind Stone.
That's literally the paradox. They can't decide.
I know. I get that. And it's so cool to me. I just thought it was such a great scene to throw in the middle of all of this like action and them fighting. And he's like, hold on. If you take a ship.
No, but here's the serious question. These are the real questions that we're asking here. Which one of them would be worthy to lift the hammer?
Whoa.
Oh.
Because Vision was worthy to lift the hammer, but he was just born, so he could do no wrong in Age of Ultron. Now, having resurrected him as an entirely different entity in the same body with similar programming, but no, like, recognizable AI, just has the voice of Jarvis. He's just full of program.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he's, like, put his memories back in him, do you think that he would still be worthy enough to lift the hammer?
Now,
what do we think he is? What is he going to become?
I think that the thing that made him worthy was, one, that he was like so self-aware of like his greater purpose and what he was doing and like why he was created, but fighting against that. And then also because Thor helped create him. So Thor like gave his worthiness to Vision, for lack of a better phrase.
That's true.
And that's why he was able to hold the hammer. Neither of these visions have that.
Vision is Vision.
Yeah, but he's not,
White
though,
Vision,
right?
Is literally Vision.
But no. But think about this. Thor, at points, physically Thor, didn't change, is the same damn person. He, at times, was not able to wield the hammer because he wasn't worthy.
Sure.
Not because he physically was Thor, or because he was the son of Odin, or whatever. So even if he's the body and the memories of Vision, is he actually worthy to carry out that portion of
What makes your personality?
Not your bones.
Your memory makes your personality. Experiences form your personality. So Vision's experiences are literally from Age of Ultron to, well, potentially before that because he was Jarvis, but Age of Ultron to WandaVision. So,
but if I play you a video of all of my experiences and you get to see them through my eyes, did you experience them?
They're his memories. He experienced them. So he experienced the feeling. He experienced, we could argue about this
next,
all day because you never once budged on anything. But what I'm saying is literally, it's like, I want to say it one more time. Literally, it's Vision. White Vision is just Vision with a paint job. He went to West Coast Customs and he got blue eyes and he got painted.
Westview Customs.
And Exhibit was there and he was like, I'm gonna pimp your ride. And he's just, he didn't have the part of him that made him Vision. And
yes, so he's not Vision.
I'm not finished.
Fight me.
So after that lengthy debate,
about, I'm so sorry. We're very passionate.
That's okay. This episode comes to an end with a massive fight between the witches, ending with the most epic reveal of the one, the only, the Scarlet Witch. And can I just say, she is absolutely styling. I'm obsessed with her new outfit.
She's got a great outfit, man. Like, probably
she's
one of the best.
She's a rocket.
It's so epic. And I just want to point out, because I don't know if anybody else noticed this, and I might just be a little bit crazy, but I saw a like zoomed in picture of her crown, and right in the middle, it is a picture of Magneto's helmet.
It's freaking Magneto's helmet.
What?
Right in the middle.
Is that real?
Yeah. Let me show you guys.
It absolutely has to be, because there's no other explanation for it looking exactly like his helmet.
The shape of the M or the crown or whatever you want to call it, yeah, it definitely also like very closely resembles his helmet.
It's like right in the middle, though. Look at.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Is his helmet.
So maybe, very cool. Maybe the Pietro
the
and Peter theory isn't just a retcon after all.
I don't think so. And her new outfit also looks a lot like Magneto's first class episode. Class costume.
Yeah,
totally.
You're right. Sorry, I was trying to swipe away my page here.
She looks
that's
so
okay.
good.
Oh, she looks amazing.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Obsessed.
I've been
she
waiting.
Got a big upgrade from her Halloween episode.
Yeah. I've been waiting for like years for them to finally give her the outfit that she was supposed to have all along. And I, you know, this couldn't have been a better time for them to reveal her as such. So it's kind of cool.
Yep. It was amazing. And yeah, so after she is given her incredible outfit, we come to the end. The hex shrinks so far that Wanda loses everything she built. We have a few loose ends that haven't been tied up yet. Where did White Vision go? What is going to happen to Agatha now that she is Agnes again? Also, who the heck is Hayward really? Does anybody have any answers?
He's a Skrull.
Oh, man.
Wait,
seriously? You think he's a
Skrull?
I definitely
real.
Think he's a Skrull for sure. Or if he's not a Skrull, because they did reveal that one other FBI agent was a Skrull, that he is a Kree. Like, he's a bad guy,
maybe.
So I don't
he's
think
Jude
he
Law.
Could be a Skrull, because the Skrull aren't supposed to be bad. Like, it's supposed to be, like, the opposite. I think that he's something, like, he's not human. Like, he's not from Earth.
Yeah. One of our listeners, one of our good friends, Andrew from Newmarket, he basically said that every single post-credit scene since Captain Marvel has been with Skrulls in it.
Mm-hmm.
So You got you've got the reveal of fake Nick Fury and fake Kobe Smulders. I always Robin forget Scherbatsky. What her name is. Yeah, Robin Scherbatsky. as Skrulls, you've got Nick Fury in the spaceship at the end of Far From Home. Like, we didn't have a lot of movies after that, but all of them have included Skrulls, including the one from today. So when she points upwards and she says, he wants to see you, and then she just points to the ceiling.
What am I supposed to say, Jesus?
What am I supposed to say, Jesus?
Is it me?
Is it me, Jesus?
What Lord do you serve?
Yeah. So his theory is that there will be Skrull Wars in Secret Invasion, which is going to be Nick Fury's full series. So I thought that was a really great point. Thank you so much, Andrew, for pointing that out.
We basically ended this series with a lot of head-scratching questions. I mean, to name a few, we basically just asked them all. But we have more questions from some lovely listeners, and we're very thankful for all of these questions. So if you would like to write in, you can absolutely do so. We have a question from Herman from Culver City, and they ask, do you think the White Vision will reunite with Wanda?
I want to know what you think, Megs.
I'm really not sure about this one, because the way the Vision scene ended, where the two of them were talking so philosophically, I don't know what his opinion is, because they just sort of looked at each other and then he flew off. Where the heck did he go? And is he really, like, is he really completely Vision again? Because his eyes may have gone back to normal, but that blue headpiece that went yellow went back to being blue again. So,
no, we'll never know.
Big old question mark.
we'll revisit this in 2 to 5 years.
Yeah. Let's wait for more movies to come correct. We have another question from Francis, who asks, would you be able to forgive Wanda if you lived in Westview? I love this question.
That's a great question. Thank you, Francis.
I think if I can go, I think it's dependent on the situation that I was in before I was hexed, but Wanda is not inherently evil. Like, objectively, she's come across as this evil character, but she's not. It's just the way that the media had portrayed her in the past. So in Civil War, for example, she blew up a building to try to prevent all the people down on the ground from being blown up. She's just trying to do a good thing, and the media doesn't cover that. And having been in that situation and having, you know, been firsthand dealing with her magic, realizing that she was doing it because she was trying to preserve someone that she lost and someone that she loved, again, dependent on my situation before I was hexed, I probably would forgive her. Probably.
Joanne's absolutely shaking her head.
She's not
having
it. A chance.
Okay.
Absolutely not. I'm sorry. I think that every hero is the villain in someone's story. So someone dislikes your favorite person. And I just think that's crazy. Everybody's perception of something changes depending on how you experienced it. So if you were tortured and punished for, you know, this long period of time, and then the hex just closes, and then Wanda just walks out with her, you know, her hood up, and she just goes about her life, and she just lives her own life. She doesn't talk to anybody. She doesn't explain herself. She doesn't apologize. She just exists. And she's like, you know what? I live in the world where the superhero problems and the things that I experience are on a completely different scale and a different level than what you experience when you're like, oh, I have to work my menial job and have my kids and live my life. So to her, maybe what she did to them doesn't even feel like that big a deal. She's like, I'm helping you. I'm giving you a good life, and I let you sleep, and you don't have to worry or stress. I'm doing a good thing, is what she thought. And she doesn't seem remorseful. She's just like, oh shit, I messed up. And she takes it away, but she doesn't apologize. So what is there to forgive if she's not sorry, right?
I think she's sorry on some levels, because she didn't know that they were experiencing her traumas of her life. She had no idea.
Yeah.
She felt really horrible about it and tried to release them from it. And, you know, when she freaked out about all of them saying her name and speaking at her at once, and then she starts choking them with her powers, she immediately was like, oh my god, that's not what I meant to do. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, her power is more than her, and it's so much power that even she can't control. So I think, like we saw in the second stinger, she is trying to figure out how to do that. And I don't know if it's going to be for good or for not so good, mm-hmm. but we will find out.
Right.
I don't know.
TBD. To be determined.
Yeah. Alyssa, would you forgive Wanda?
I mean, if it's so from the outside looking in, like, I have compassion for Wanda. So, like, I can't say very confidently that I would or would not. I can see that Wanda didn't do it on purpose to the extent that she did. I know that she was, like, obviously dealing with a lot of grief, and she had, like, created a family, and she was mourning the loss of her brother and her parents and her loved one. She's literally has nobody. So I think that judging that for what it is, as like a viewer, I can say, yeah, I would forgive her. But judging it as like Deborah Jo Rupp from like That 70s Show, like Mrs. Hart, and she's like, stop, please it, just kill me. Like,
oh my God. Yeah.
I imagine that she put them through a lot of unintentional damage. And like, we heard that Norm was like, is my father okay? Right? Wasn't his dad sick? And he was like, his cousin, I need to talk to my sister. Yeah. Somebody was sick, right? So we don't even know how long they have been playing this game for her. And I think that it would really depend on like how much I understood. Because if they, like they said, if they hear her thoughts, if they have her nightmares, if they feel her pain, how can you not want to forgive somebody for that? So
yeah,
that's my take on it.
Deep take. I like it.
Well, Joanne's just a monster. We all know
Thank
that.
You.
I'm not a monster. Okay. Here's my thing, though.
Kidding,
honestly, genuinely, though, we're looking at it from a perspective where we've got to witness all of these things. And all that we've heard that they witness is her nightmares. So she just gets to torture them, and they haven't slept a solid night's sleep in, who knows, months, years. We don't know how long it's been. So, you know, like, lives were lived and people's families moved on without them. Maybe they had significant others. That one lady was like, my husband, tell him not to come back here. Like,
yeah,
mm-hmm. Like ultimately at the end of the day, I understand from our perspective that we would forgive her with all the information that we're given. As a resident, just someone under her control, being tortured, being maybe in a universe where you feel like superheroes, like The Boys, you feel like superheroes just get to live whatever and do whatever they want with no consequences, I would be irritated. And I think it would be really hard for me to forgive that person without speaking to her and maybe having a heart-to-heart mm-hmm. conversation with her. But that's not going to happen because she's busy. She's got shit to do. So she's going to leave, and they're just going to be like kicking around being like, wow, what a bitch.
Fair enough.
And then they don't care.
You mean witch.
Witch, please.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for your questions. And remember, if you have any questions that you'd like us to answer in any future episodes, please send us an email at hellovideodames@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram or Twitter at hellovideodames. We would love to answer your questions.
We read everything you send.
Yep, it's true. Okay, ladies, now that we have really weeded through our thoughts and feelings on the series, where do you think this leaves us? What does the MCU Phase 4 look like from here on out? And also, quick question, we mentioned it previously. Are you guys super stoked for the making of coming on March 12th?
Totally. I love behind the scenes stuff. Like, the Imagineering story is my shit.
Oh, so, same. I love that.
So I'll take a behind the scenes any day.
Mm-hmm. Wicked.
Cool. I mean, I'm just looking forward to, with regards to where the MCU Phase 4 goes, I think that there's a lot of rumors regarding like the Young Avengers and kind of just having a whole new group of people take over, because we have been giving a lot of time and attention towards people that we know, and we keep revisiting the same stories over and over again. It's nice to see that they have set up an opportunity for an entirely new set of people to be the main characters mm-hmm. in our stories. So someone like Wanda, who started out as a villain and then a side character and then a love interest, and now she's her own person and she's doing her own thing and she's creating offspring who are going to go on to do their own thing. And it's just generations of stories that we can continue to tell. I think that's so cool. And I love that we're already on like phase four, and who knows right. how long this could go on indefinitely. Right. So I think that it's really cool that they're giving that a chance to do new stories instead of, you know, Spider-Man movie after Spider-Man movie Spider-Man yeah. movie.
Far from home, near at home, work from home.
She's her own witch who don't need no Iron Man.
Ooh. Ooh. Absolutely no need to fret that the newest Marvel masterpiece has come to a close, because this year we are getting the gift of so much more. Coming to us on Disney Plus March 19th is the season premiere of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Now, Alyssa, I know that you're not like crazy stoked about this, but have you guys seen the newest trailer that came out?
Yeah.
We're not like, we're not the group that's like pumped for them.
I'm going to watch it, but I'm not like so excited about it. Like, I really like the mystical side, the superpower side. Like, as a kid growing up, like I said, Sabrina the Teenage Witch had magic and I love that. I always dreamt that I was a superhero, but like Bucky and Sam don't really do it for me.
How dare you?
Stop right now. Bucky, okay, I would watch just Sebastian Stan sure, doing
Sebastian
nothing
Stan
at all for
is,
hours.
Is smoking and he's a rocket, but I don't really like the more grounded characters. Like, I'll definitely watch Black Widow. I love Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow as a character because we've seen her develop so much, but like, sorry.
Someone obviously
that was rude.
Feels
first of all, don't disrespect the dead. First of all,
you disrespected Sebastian Stan, so I will still fight you.
Oh boy,
yeah. From my side, I mean, I'm a sucker for a good buddy comedy, and I think this is gonna not only have a lot of action, but a lot of like, you know, head to head mischief between the two of them. So
sure,
I'm stoked for that. I think it's gonna be funny.
I never would have guessed that they would have pegged those two together in a show, because mm-hmm. in Civil War, they hated each other for the entire movie. Like, but it was funny, you know, in a way, like, could you move your seat up? No. Or like after they had fought together and they're both laying down on the ground after Spider-Man whooped their ass. She's just like, yeah. I hate you. Like, it's just that kind of comedy that gets me, you know?
Yeah,
so
same.
I'm excited to see more of that. Hopefully.
And it's almost like a, this is the passing of the torch. Who gets the shield?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
Both is good. Yes, both.
Both, yeah.
They can share.
Pass it back and forth.
I think that it's also the case that, you know, even myself, when I went to look at WandaVision and I saw trailers and I saw it ahead of time, I wasn't excited to watch it and I didn't really have interest in it until it started. So my hopes and dreams for this show and the rest of the Marvel stuff continuing is that it exceeds my expectations.
Totally.
And I think that we'll just kind of have to ease back on portraying things that aren't there into the shows and just take them for what they are and enjoy them as we go and just be happy and thankful that we're just going to have, you know, an entire year of Marvel content and just revel in that.
Oh, so excited.
Every single week, baby. So excited.
Same. Well, thank you all for sticking around and listening to us figure out our feelings in the final moments of the series that changed the MCU for all of us. We so hope you've enjoyed the show. The show on the show on the show.
Hey.
As mentioned before, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Hello Video Dames, as well as listening to our upcoming episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. Now, hold on to your conical hats and keep your tuck-tuck close. On our next episode, we will be chatting about the newest Disney release, Raya and the Last Dragon. If you've seen it or not, send us a question regarding the newest Disney princess and her incredible journey to find the last dragon in the world.
Elsa?